Welcome. Let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. Pledge allegiance, Mr. Johnson, will you lead us in the pledge?
Yes, sir.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Director, you want to do a roll call?
I will. Sheriff Daniels is in the room. Commander Figueroa is in the room. Mr. Johnson's in the room. Ms. Kelly, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Good morning. Officer Medina's in the room. Deputy Director Profiri's in the room. Professor Robinson's in the room. Chief Vasquez is in the room. Ms. Weiss, good morning. Can you hear us?
Good morning. Yes.
And Chief Williams is in the room. Sir, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Director. Any comments before we begin the meeting from board members?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to have a discussion maybe about not having a December meeting just to have a little bit of a break off for a month. I don't know how that goes amongst my peers.
Comments?
I love it.
we have one holiday love. What else?
Yeah, I second the love.
Chief?
It's a good idea.
Professor? Okay. We don't need a motion.
We don't need a motion. The rules allow us flexibility on the number of meetings we have a year, so we're fine.
Is any members opposed to not having a meeting in December? Obviously, the con would, it'll backlog us for January's meeting.
January will be a little bit longer then, just to make sure we have those cases.
Just bring in lunch.
Yeah.
We can do that.
I like that.
Okay. Well.
Thank you.
We will suspend our meeting in January as a gift to each other. And
Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to all. So, all righty. Back to you, Director, for your...
With that, I'll just do a couple announcements. As you know, Colonel Silbert is absent today. Monique Cody is your independent advisor for final action cases. I keep talking about Steve Jacobs retiring next month. We're very happy for him as he starts the next chapter of his life, but... Obviously, you have to bring in someone. I say we never can replace Steve because Steve is irreplaceable, but we did bring someone in to pick up his workload. So Rich Bradshaw came to us last month. He's a retired commander from the Glendale PD. So, Chief Williams, we didn't go back to the Phoenix Well. But no, Rich came very highly recommended from Michelle Blanca, who's also from Glendale PD. And if Michelle said Rich is a quality candidate, we took her at face value. We met Rich, we completely agreed with her, and he is here to join the team. He's jumped right in. He's done a couple new hire audits. He's working on his first case. So we're really excited to have him as part of the team. So again, we'll miss Steve, but I think Rich is going to be a great addition to our team. Chief, I was joking with you. As most of you noticed, last month we had a slight air conditioner mishap during our meeting. I don't think Sean's in the room. He'd probably be embarrassed if he was. But Sean Donegan handles all of our maintenance for the building, and it's a very thankless job. We've seen him change batteries in the bathroom for the paper towels. He works with the plumbers. He works with the air conditioner. He does an amazing job. He got people out on Monday and Tuesday to replace both air conditioning units that service this room, and it was
not easy. I know we probably should hand clap, but it was hot last month.
But again, it's that unsung. Again, Sean doesn't want the recognition. Sean would be embarrassed, I think, if he was in the room now, but he does a phenomenal job of keeping this building up and running, and that's only one small part of his actual job. So, Sean, wherever you are, if you're watching in your office, thank you for everything you do.
Appreciate it.
And the last announcement is we already gave you an updated agenda, but just to make sure everyone's clear, we're moving final action for Yeomans. It's one of your final, it might be on the original agenda you have, but we have updated the actual agenda, so it's off of there. And then, Chairman, with that, I can go right into my director's report if you'd like.
Please. Rich, welcome to the host team. Thank you.
Just a couple things. I think I talked about it last month because I think the first class was going on when you were here last month. For our executive leadership program. It concluded last week. It was 2.5 days. It ended with a chief's panel. We brought in a sheriff and a couple of chiefs from around the state, and they got set up here, and they got to speak directly to the attendees, and the attendees got to ask questions. It went over really well. But overall, the class is amazing. So again, Chuck Miller, I don't think here today either, but Chuck took that. He created it, did a phenomenal job. Manny and her team supported him in that endeavor. And then we got rave reviews that we sent out after a class. And again, it was really well done. And we look forward to what we're going to do in 2022. couple other things. ACOP Laughlin Conference was 2 weeks ago. Again, working with the ACOP training team, we put together different continuing training credit hours. I think we probably passed out about 10 hours worth of continuing training for anyone that wanted to attend. So again, we always look to serve that need, because as you know, a lot of agencies have a hard time getting those continuing training hours. If we can make it easy for an event they're already at, we want to make sure we do that while providing high quality training. Chief Williams is aware of this, but we met with Phoenix Regional Academy staff just to put this on your radar. They are shifting the way they do academy training beginning in 2022. So we're working with them. They have some very ambitious ideas for 2023 that we're still working through. Not sure we'll be able to accomplish that, but we'll continue to work with them, and I'll continue to keep you updated as we get updates. But right now there's not a lot to report. But again, hopefully the first part of 2022 I'll be able to update you on what we're doing with Phoenix Regional Academy. Prop 207 funding, I continue to talk about that. As you know, July 1st of 2022, we'll no longer be getting appropriated funding to reimburse academies. I've been going around, I've talked to agency heads from throughout the state to let them know that's coming. But again, just so you know, we'll still be using CGF funding to reimburse academies for our Native American tribes that don't pay into PSPRS, for our state agencies that don't get any of the 207 money, and for any other state agency that doesn't pay into PSPRS. Because they would not get any 207 money, and they'd have no funding to pay to reimburse those academies. So we'll continue to do that after July 1st of 2022. I have heard that there's talk about that there's people that are unhappy with that, the way that legislative intent came out, and I'll just keep you apprised. That's not our, in my opinion, not our fight to fight, but I'll keep you apprised as I hear things going on down the legislature if should that change. HB 2462, that's the 80 hours of training per that House bill. Most of you probably heard there was some a court ruling a couple weeks ago. There's multiple interpretations of what that court ruling means. We're not providing guidance to any agencies on what the ruling means, but since we're so far into it, Mandy and her team are so far into getting that training up online, I think we only have one or two lesson plans we're waiting for. We're going to move forward. So by the end of this year, we'll have those 80 hours online, that training coordinators around the state will have the ability to access if they feel the need to do so. We just figured we're so far into it, and since we're not going to give a legal opinion, we'll make it available to any agency that wants to continue to provide that 80 hours of training to their civilian members of any oversight committee. A constable training, we work very closely with the constables, and they asked us to help them with their annual conference in January down in Tubac. So with Mandy and Lori is in the room as well. Their teams are going to put on 14 hours of continuing training for the constables down there. Talking to one of the constables, the chairman of the board, they've always had a hard time getting Arizona Post instructors, making sure the instruction is approved by us. And it's really easy when you come right to us. We can work directly with you. And Lori and her team, their teams both stepped up. Mandy's team stepped up. And they're going to go down there and put on that training for the constables. I sent you all an email last week, but Dan Cernia, you'll notice we have Dale today. It used to be Dan. Dan retired. Dan is going on to greener pastures. He'd been here for 14 years. He had a long career in the private sector before that, so we wish him the best. Yesterday was his last day, and again, it was such a short turnaround. We ordered him a plaque on your behalf. We'll get it to him when it comes in. It just hasn't arrived yet. I like to always keep you updated on what I've been doing. I attended the East Valley Chiefs meeting last week. Yesterday I was up for the NARDA user group as well as the PANT meeting up in Yavapai County. Tomorrow I'll be up in Globe for the Copper Rim meeting for Gila County. And then on Friday I'll be down in Yuma for the WALAID meeting for Yuma County. Again, those are really valuable for me to hear from the sheriff in the county as well as all the police chiefs on their important issues that are affecting them, whether it's hiring, training, or even just from law enforcement perspective as a whole. That gives us an idea when I come back here and talk with the team on things we can do to help them with things they're struggling with. So again, I appreciate your support in allowing me to keep attending those things. And the final thing I'll let you know is, and I joked with John Trepay from the Gilbert Chandler Community College Police Academy, they asked me to be their keynote speaker tonight for their academy graduation. I'll be doing that on your behalf. Clearly they ran out of quality speakers, so they asked me to do it. So I enjoy doing that. I've told you 100 times I really enjoy going to academy graduations, so I'll be doing that tonight on your behalf. And Mr. Chairman, with that, that'll end my report. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Director. Any questions, comments? Thank you. Sure. Next agenda item, consent agenda. Any comments on the consent agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept the consent agenda as written.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Professor. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Agenda item E, AZ Post Administrative Rules, proposed changes. Excuse me. Director, back to you.
Thank you, sir. Just for the board knows, and we've done this before, and we've talked about this, you gave us permission several months ago to open up what we call a rulemaking docket. Jeannie Hahn, our consultant, is on the phone should you have any questions about the process in general. But basically what is in your packet are all of the proposed rule revisions that we're suggesting, that, and we'll be seeking your approval to move forward with that. If you look, your first page, your board communication, just covers the highlights, and I'll go over those in a minute. Behind that, you see the actual rules as currently written, and then you see where there's strike through and the new wording that we're proposing. But let me go over just a couple of highlights. I'm not going to go through every line because we'd be here for 2 days. It's a very tedious project, and again, to Mike G. Marino, thank you for your patience and your attention to detail, because again, it's very detail-oriented, and Mike does a great job working with Jeannie Hahn, our consultant, on this process. But just let's go, if you look at your board agenda communications, let's go down to just a couple of the ones. I've highlighted a few. The first one is clarify that denial of certification may be temporary or permanent. And that goes back to a couple years ago. We had a board meeting where we had a recruit from the academy was dishonest or did something in the academy that caused him to get ejected from the academy. The case came to us, and the board ultimately denied his certification. And one of the comments that was Andy Lefevre asked, is this really forever? Because a denial by your rules is permanent, just like a revocation is. So after that, we started having some discussion, and we started looking at it, and the majority of our denial cases come from academy recruits that do something silly while they're in the academy, and they're usually immature, they're active in maturity. And the thought was, if we put time and distance between that act and when they want to come back to law enforcement, does that make more sense? Does that better serve the community? And I think the answer is yes to that. So what we're proposing is that we have the ability, you have the ability, when you have a denial case in front of you, to say this is a permanent denial because it's that bad, or this is a temporary denial and we give a period of time. So just, again, that's what that rule change would do. The next thing is we're removing limited authority as a class of police officer or peace officers in the rules. We don't use that anymore. We don't support it. So we're just looking to make that cleaner and take that out of the rule since no one uses it anymore. A couple other things, if you look down, on the second page of your document, we're talking about adding a requirement for a background investigation when an individual is physically separated from an agency for more than 30 days before being reinstated by an agency. And that where that came from is you have cases where officers get terminated. We open a case. They go through their normal civil service process. They might be gone 6-8 months, and they get reinstated. And as part of that reinstatement, they go reinstated back to the day they were terminated. So it looks like there's no break in service. However, they were gone for 8 or 9 months. Our contention is that person should go back through a background because they have been technically separated from the agency. So we're using 30 days. If you've been physically separated, so even if you get reinstated back to the same day you got terminated, you were physically separated for more than 30 days, we're going to ask for a full background. Just in a couple other things, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but 585 hours is always our basic academy curriculum. We've raised that. It'll be 663 hours. Some academies are doing it now, but it'll be mandatory in January. We're just removing 585 from the rules, and the reason being is we have to make a rule change to change the hours, so we're not doing that. And we're going to take the number of hours out of rules. So should we have a need to change it a year from now, we wouldn't have to make a rule change. We could just change the basic academy curriculum. I think it just makes more sense to do that instead of tying us to a specific number of hours, because I think we all understand this is an evolving profession. We want to make sure we have the flexibility to do that. We're clarifying waiver training. Currently, when someone wants to waiver in from another state, it's an arduous process. They have to send their training records. Our compliance staff has to sit down and spend hours trying to match up how many hours did you have in this area, and almost never does it match up perfectly from another state. And we've always gone, well, close enough, that looks good, we think that's good. Well, again, I don't like that. I like consistency. So our suggestion is we would like to change the rules where if you graduated from a post-approved academy in any other state, we will take that as you meet our substantially comparable to our curriculum, as long as you also worked a year as a peace officer in that state. And we think that makes sense. And talking to my peers around the state, around the country, some are a little bit less than us, some are a little bit more, but we all have pretty much the same curriculums. They're very, very similar. But again, when you actually try to look at the hours, it gets very convoluted, and I think they'll tell you it takes them hours to do it. And it just doesn't make any sense, because in the end, it's never 100% accurate. It never matches up perfectly. So again, that's what we're looking to do with that. We think that'll make more sense. And then just at the bottom, it says make Article 2 standards. And just so you know, those are your rules also incorporate the Department of Corrections for basic academy training and hiring standards. And we actually partnered with them when we were looking to make rule changes, and they had a couple suggestions. And just a couple of them is making the two articles, Article 1 is for peace officers, Article 2 is for correctional officers, just changing some of the documentation on high school education and military service. They're removing experimentation regarding illegal use of marijuana. And then they're also removing the timelines for marijuana usage. Again, that will only apply to correctional officers, not peace officers. Again, that's just a snippet of what we're doing. I think those are the highlights. I think those are the most important topics. There's a whole host of other changes that are contained inside your packet that you have the opportunity to review. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Again, this is a long process. Normally, Arizona Post has done it every 4 or 5 years, but we're evolving so much, we're changing so much. This will be the second year in a row we're asking your permission to make rule changes.
Any questions, comments? Hearing none. Thank you, Matt, and to your staff on that. It's a lot of work, I realize.
And we would need a motion on that, sir.
And Mark Brachtel, Mr. Chairman, on page 2 of the board communication regarding rule changes are the two recommended motions at the bottom of that second page.
Mr. Chairman, Kifaskis, I move that the board adopt the amended administrative rules in Title 13, Chapter 4, as listed in a notice of proposed rulemaking, and I also move the board proceed with the process of amending its rules by filing the notice of proposed rulemaking as adopted by the board with the Office of the Secretary of State.
Mr. Chairman, can we just, Chief, if we can just get those two separate?
Do the one first. I did them twice.
I said
one and another.
He said and.
He did say and, but we'll take the first.
I said and.
I think our attorney would prefer if we voted on each one individually.
Oh, okay. Well, the first one then.
Okay. second by the chief. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Your second motion, chief.
You do this one.
Oh, Kevin Robinson. I move that the board proceed with the process of amending its rules by filing a notice of proposed rulemaking as adopted by the board with the Office of the Secretary of State.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
I second that. Matt McGee.
Thank you, Officer. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone, on that. Next agenda item, number F, final action cases. First case up is 20-194. Mr. Duran, I'll yield to you on the floor.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Arizona Post staff and the respondent, former Deputy William Brennan, offer the attached consent agreement for your review and approval. Attorney Chad Smith, who is not present, I do not believe, represents Mr. Brennan. On December 7, 2019, Mr. Brennan was employed by the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, but was off duty. On that date, Mr. Brennan was contacted by the Gilbert Police Department and found to be asleep in the driver's seat of his running vehicle. He was subsequently arrested by the Gilbert Police Department for driving under the influence. Scientific analysis of Mr. Brennan's blood revealed a blood alcohol concentration of 0.155%. The Gilbert City Prosecutor declined prosecution in this case. However, the board voted to initiate proceedings in this case on July 21st, 2021. The parties to the consent agreement agree that Mr. Brennan's actions are in violation of post rules, specifically rules 13.4, 109.88, and 812. The parties propose that the board suspend Mr. Brennan's peace officer certification for a period of 1 year, beginning retroactively to July 21st, 2021, until July 21, 2022. This proposal is within the range of permissible discipline for peace officers who have committed similar misconduct, specifically extreme driving under the influence. I'm happy to answer any questions or refer any legal questions to your independent legal advisor.
Thank you, Mr. Moran. Any questions, comments? I understand there's no counsel here for Mr. Brennan.
I do not believe.
Or Mr. Brennan himself.
Okay.
No comments, questions? Entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Professor.
Kevin Robinson. I move to accept a proposed consent agreement for a 12-month suspension of peace officer certification beginning July 21st, 2021 and ending July 21st, 2022.
Thank you, Professor. Do we hear a second?
Chief Oskar, second.
Thank you, Chief. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Durant. Next case, final action case 20-138. Mr. Caldwell.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members. Billy Caldwell, I'm your compliance specialist. This is the final action case for former Officer Alan Urkov with the Coolidge Police Department. The board initiated proceedings against Urkov certification on July 21st, 2021. Complaint notices were sent via regular and certified mail, and the certified notice was signed for on July 30th, 2021. To date, Urkov has not requested a hearing. To briefly summarize his case, Urkov was demoted from sergeant to officer as a result of information provided by Coolidge PD Sergeant A.W. in 2018. In May 2020, Sergeant A.W. submitted another complaint alleging Officer Urkov had been retaliating against her because of his demotion. Later, Officer Urkov submitted a memo to the Coolidge Chief of Police alleging possible misconduct on the part of Sergeant A.W. Investigations conducted by the city and the police department concluded Officer Urkov sought out incriminating information about Sergeant A.W., essentially conducting an internal investigation without approval from the agency, and then submitted a memo to the chief of police that misrepresented his investigation, all in an attempt to retaliate against Sergeant A.W. Ultimately, the investigations concluded Sergeant A.W. had not violated any agency or city policies, and that Urkov's actions created a hostile work environment. Officer Urkov resigned near the conclusion of the investigation. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board impose a suspension to lapse of his peace officer certification, and his certification lapses on August 22nd, 2023. And I'd be glad to answer any questions that the board members might have about this case.
Any questions, comments? Not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Jerry Williams, I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusion of law and suspend the peace officer certification for Alan Urkoff.
Yes, ma'am.
From today's date, I guess, until it lapses in August 22nd of 2022.
Do we hear a second? Thank you, Chief.
Matthew Giroux, second.
Thank you, Commander. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Next case, 20-116. Ms. Blanco. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Michelle Blanco, one of your compliance specialists. I am presenting this case for compliance specialist Kathy Haas, who was unavailable to present today and originally presented it to you on June board meeting, where the board voted to initiate proceedings against former Pima Community College police officer Roberto Cerna's peace officer certification. As a refresher of the case presented to you previously, on April 23rd, 2020, Officer Cerna was working as a field training officer for the Pima Community College Police Department and was training Officer Robert Udelman, who was in his third phase of FTO. After completing his first day of training with Officer Cerna, Officer Udelman submitted a memo to his sergeant with complaints of conversations Officer Serna engaged in during the course of the day that made him feel uncomfortable. It should be noted at this time, the board has the details of those conversations and the final action overview, which I will not go into detail because of the graphic nature of those conversations. Officer Udelman claimed Officer Serna asked vulgar, "Would you rather do this or that?" type questions. These questions were vulgar and sexually graphic in nature. He listened to and broadcasted a podcast over the vehicle's stereo system of racially charged conversations and made personal comments which were homophobic in nature. A notice of complaint was sent by both regular and certified U.S. mail on June 23, 2021. The notice sent by regular mail was not returned, and according to USPS tracking notice, the certified notice was returned to post on July 13, 2021 as unclaimed, unable to forward. An alternative address was obtained, and both the regular and certified letters were sent out again on July 19, 2021 using a USPS tracking number. The certified letter was delivered on July 24, 2021. However, notice was left at the address because no authorized recipient was available, requesting the addressee to contact USPS to reschedule delivery. To date, no further notification has been received by Arizona Post, and none of the regular mailed letters have been returned to Arizona Post. Compliance Specialist Haas sent an email to Officer Serna on August 20, 2021, asking him if he intended to request a hearing and to please respond to her email. To date, Officer Serna has not requested a hearing and has not had any contact with Arizona Post. Based on these facts of this case, staff recommends the board revoke certification. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Blanco. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Oscus, I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and revoke Mr. Serna's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Matt Medina, I'll second it.
Thank you, Officer Medina. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye, motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Michael. Next case, 21-040. Mr. Jacobs, floor is yours.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, Steve Jacobs, compliance specialist. First case involves a former Pima County deputy, Brian Espinoza, who on or about November 17, 2018, was placed on a special observation plan following several acts of insubordination and failure to complete reports, failure to qualify with his firearm, and other policy violations. On June 2nd, 2020, Deputy Espinoza was again placed on a special observation plan for continued performance failures, to include his lying to his supervisor on June 1st, 2020 about cleaning his assigned firearms. Deputy Espinoza's performance failures persisted, and on November 25th, 2020, he again twice lied to his supervisor by informing his supervisor he had scheduled his vehicle for maintenance when he had not. And then he also advised his supervisor that he had turned his vehicle in for maintenance when he had not done so. On December 1st, 2020, and again on December 2nd, 2020, Deputy Espinoza was directed to author a memo regarding his failure to have his vehicle maintained, but he failed to do so. Likewise, he also failed to complete 13 departmental reports that he had been instructed to complete. About 3 hours following the second directive, Deputy Espinoza reported being involved in an on-duty critical incident. Deputy Espinoza reported the windshield of his patrol vehicle had been shot at while he was on vehicle patrol. Following this incident, Deputy Espinoza was granted an extended leave period beginning December 7, 2020. Deputy Espinoza returned to duty on February 11, 2021. Upon his return to duty, he was to receive 8 letters of counseling for work performance and behavioral issues that occurred prior to his extended time off. It also had been recommended that an internal affairs and and compliance section conduct an investigation into the authenticity of the incident reported by Deputy Brian Espinoza on 12/2/2020 to include an investigation into the truthfulness of his statements when he made his report. On February 12, 2021, Deputy Espinoza submitted a memorandum admitting to being dishonest to his supervisors on November 25, 2020 regarding the maintenance of his vehicle and resigned from the Pima County Sheriff's Department. The board voted to initiate proceedings on this matter on August 18, 2021, and a notice of complaint was sent both by regular and certified mail. The notice sent by regular mail was not returned, but according to USPS tracking, the notice that was sent by certified mail could not be delivered as addressed. A TLO search found a more current address, but failed to include an apartment number and could not be delivered. All contacts by telephone and email have gone unanswered. To date, Deputy Espinoza has not requested a hearing or made contact with Arizona Post. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board revoke certification. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Kevin Robinson. I move to accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law and revoke the peace officer certification for Brian G. Espinoza.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, second.
Thank you, Chief. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-072. Mr. Jacobs, back to you.
Yes,
sir. Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. I need to recuse myself from this. I mean, discussion and voting.
Thank you, Chief. Let the record be noted. Mr. Jacobs, back to you.
Yes, this case involves a former Winslow police officer, Jared Jake. Corporal Jake was the canine handler for the Winslow Police Department, and during early March 2021, there were rumors that his department canine fathered a litter of puppies with a canine fathered a litter of puppies with Corporal Jake's personally owned German Shepherd. On March 7, 2021, when officially asked by the department supervisor, Corporal Jake denied the canine could have impregnated the German Shepherd and provided the supervisor with veterinary receipts documenting the department canine had been neutered. On March 30, 2021, the husband of a Winslow dispatcher, Ms. C.R., filed a complaint that Corporal Jake was involved in an on-duty relationship with his wife. An internal investigation was initiated. During the investigation, Mrs. Jake was interviewed and reported Corporal Jake was aware the veterinarian had failed to remove both of the department canine's testicles and that Corporal Jake was aware that the department canine had mated with the German Shepherd, and a fact that was later confirmed by DNA testing. During an April 9, 2021 Gary interview, Corporal Jake again denied being aware that his department canine had fathered a litter of puppies with his German Shepherd. When confronted with information provided by his wife, Corporal Jake admitted to seeing a video of the two dogs mating and having discovered the department canine still having one testicle. Also during the Gary interview, Corporal Jake was asked if he had an on-duty physical contact with Ms. C.R., and he acknowledged having contact, but said the contact was limited to kissing only. He denied having any on-duty sexual contact with Ms. C.R. On April 12th of 2021, Corporal Jake resigned from the Winslow Police Department, and following his resignation, Ms. C.R. contacted investigators and requested to correct her earlier statements, where she too denied having sexual contact with Corporal Jake while on duty. Ms. C.R. reported that she and Corporal Jake had colluded with one another to provide, so they could provide the same information to investigators about their relationship, because she and Corporal Jake had engaged in sexual contact while on duty. The board voted to initiate proceedings on August 18th of 2021, and a notice of complaint was sent by both regular and certified mail. The notice sent by regular mail has not been returned, and according to USPS tracking, the certified notice was delivered September 1st, 2021. To date, Officer Jake has not requested a hearing or made contact with Arizona Post. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board revoke certification. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. Questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I move to accept the findings and fact of conclusions of law and revoke the peace officer certification for Jared Jake in case number 21-072.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chair, I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Moving on to new cases. Agenda item G, first case 21-028. Mr. Caldwell, the floor is yours.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Billy Caldwell again. This is the case involving former officer Sandor, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, Sandor Binkley with the Mesa Police Department. In October 2020, the Mesa Police Department received an anonymous complaint about Officer Binkley alleging that he was using illegal drugs and in a relationship with a known prostitute. In November 2020, a female filed a criminal report with Mesa saying Officer Binkley was harassing and threatening her via telephone and Facebook. The female later told investigators Officer Binkley was also a drug user and supplier. At the time this information came to light, Binkley was on leave, so investigators were unable to speak to him. Because of this, they could not corroborate the allegations, and when Officer Binkley resigned, the investigations were closed. Based on the information available at this time, staff recommends that the board resolve in the future, meaning any agency wishing to appoint him would need to address the following issues during a background and a pre-hire polygraph exam. Has Officer Binkley used or possessed illegal drugs or narcotics while a certified peace officer in Arizona? Has he ever purchased or procured illegal drugs for another person? Has he engaged in a pattern of behavior in order to harass or intimidate a third party? And did he engage in a personal relationship with a convicted felon or any person involved in illegal activities, specifically prostitution or the sale of drugs? I'd be glad to answer any questions that the board members might have about this case.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Questions, comments? If not, entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Matt Figueroa, I move to close this case and resolve in the future.
Thank you, Commander. Do I hear a second?
This is Lisa Wise. Second.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate that. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-061. Mr. Caldwell, back to you.
This involves former recruit Duran from the Casa Grande Police Department. Recruit Duran was in the Phoenix Regional Police Academy with Class 546. On March 25, 2021, training officers noted his locker was unsecured. Instructors took Duran's lock off. Actually, his combination lock was on his locker, but it wasn't secured. So the lock was on the lock, or on the locker rather, but it wasn't closed. Instructors took Duran's lock off and placed a plastic cable tie on his locker. The next morning, recruit Duran cut the cable tie and borrowed a combination lock from a recruit in another class. When questioned by Academy staff, recruit Duran stated the combination lock belonged to him and was one he purchased at Walmart 2 weeks prior to the start of the Academy. He also submitted a written statement with essentially the same information. Academy staff continued to look into the matter, and upon further questioning, he eventually admitted he borrowed the lock from another Academy recruit and lied about it to keep from getting in trouble. Recruit Duran was dismissed from the Academy and terminated from Casa Grande PD. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be glad to answer any questions that y'all might have about this case.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Questions, comments? Hearing none, entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Joe Preferi, I move to initiate proceedings to deny peace officer certification to Mr. Duran.
Thank you, Deputy Director. Do we hear a second?
Mr. Chairman Vasquez, I second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-064. Mr. Caldwell, back to you.
This case involves Officer John Santiago, presently with the City of Mesa Police Department. In 2018, Officer Santiago was involved in the arrest of an armed 15-year-old suspect. The Mesa Police Department sustained an allegation of unnecessary force against him. He received a suspension by the agency and was given remedial training in use of force options. The Post Board initiated proceedings, and an administrative judge later determined Officer Santiago's actions rose to the level of a Post rule violation. While this case was going on, Mesa informed AZ Post of another incident involving Officer Santiago and the arrest of a juvenile suspect. Mesa provided case-related material which showed that on July 3, 2019, Officer Santiago was on duty with Mesa PD. Near 0245 hours, he spotted a 16-year-old male, Mr. E.M., riding a bicycle near Sossaman Road. He handcuffed the juvenile and transported him home to cite and release him to his parents for a curfew violation. Body camera footage from both Officer Santiago and his partner memorialized the incident, and we'd like to show you the videos now. So there's two videos, each about 2 minutes, so about 4 minutes total, Officer Santiago and his beat partner. And go, you can go ahead and Dale.
Step up. Walk over this way. All right. I know you're getting a citation for curfew violation. You need to physically appear in court with one of your parents on August 13th of this year at 8:30 in the morning. If you don't show up to court, you know what's going to happen? They're going to issue a warrant for your arrest. Okay. You could be a badass, dude. I mean, all four foot of you is pretty badass. You're not going to sit here and try and walk away from me, are you? Are you?
Try that shit again, bro.
I just did it.
Keep doing it. Keep going.
So are we done here?
Keep going.
Are we done here?
Let go of me.
Are we done here?
Yes.
When I let...
Yes.
When we're done here,
please.
Are you going to give your parents any trouble?
No.
And how can I be assured of that? How am I going to be assured? If I get another call, do you know what's going to happen?
No.
You're going to end up going to juvie okay. hall. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
So are we done?
Yes.
Are you done trying
yes,
to be a badass?
I'm sorry. Don't please let go. That really is messing up my jaw, sir.
So are we done? Stand up against the car. Stand up.
So the second video is Officer Williams' body cam. I think the first 20 or 30 seconds, there's going to be no audio. And that's Officer Santiago, actually, that you're seeing in the screen right there.
You're not going to sit here and try and walk away from me, are you? Are you? I just did it.
Good.
So are we done here?
Good.
Are we done here? Are we done here? When I let... When we're done here, are you going to give your parents any trouble?
No.
And how can I be assured of that? How am I going to be assured? If I get another call, do you know what's going to happen?
No.
You're going to end up going to juvie hall. Do you understand that?
Yes,
sir. So are we done?
Yes.
Are you done trying to be a badass?
I'm sorry. Don't believe
that. So are we done? Stand up against the car. Stand up.
Officer Santiago wrote in his incident report that he used a pressure point control technique for 7 to 13 seconds to counter EM's, quote, psychological intimidation, unquote, and to stop an escape. It's hard to see from the video because we blurred the face of the juvenile. I counted myself the seconds, and it looks like Officer Santiago's hand, his right hand, is underneath his neck, sort of in that mandibular angle, for about 40 seconds. But you can't tell whether he's actually applying the technique for the full 40 seconds or whether the 7 to 13 seconds that he claimed in the reports that he wrote. His sergeant later questioned whether any use of force was necessary in the incident and opined that Officer Santiago's statements to EM may have exacerbated the situation. After an internal investigation, Commander Cutler authored a memo about his findings, noting the size disparity between the suspect and the officers, the relatively minor nature of the charges against EM, and EM's minimal level of resistance. Officer Santiago asserted his use of force was justified to stop or prevent EM's escape, and he criticized the investigation as incomplete and substandard. Officer Santiago was given a 20-hour suspension and is still employed by the agency. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be glad to answer any questions that the board members might have.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Questions, comments? Hearing none, on this, I'll ask for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Vasquez, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Santiago's peace officer certification.
Do I hear a second? Thank you, Chief.
Second, Chief.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say aye. Nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Next case, 21-123. Mr. Delton.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I need to recuse myself from this case.
Let the record be noted. Thank you, Chief.
Ms. Delton. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Mike Delton, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves current Phoenix Police Officer Peter Guzman. Now, this case came to us as two separate investigations, so here's the first one. On February 26, 2020, Officer Peter Guzman conducted a traffic stop on Mr. CM for a civil speeding violation. Officer Guzman asked Mr. CM for his identification, proof of insurance, and vehicle registration. Mr. CM provided his driver's license to Officer Guzman, but failed to provide his proof of insurance and registration. Officer Guzman detained Mr. CM in handcuffs and advised him he was detaining him for speeding, failure to provide proof of insurance and registration, and failure to answer Officer Guzman about whether there were guns and drugs in his vehicle. Officer Guzman conducted a pat-down search of Mr. CM and placed him in the rear seat of his patrol vehicle. Mr. CM then asked Officer Guzman to have his supervisor respond to the scene, and Sergeant Michael Collard arrived and spoke with Officer Guzman, who explained the situation to him. Officer Guzman made an untruthful statement to Sergeant Collard when he told his sergeant that he had detained Mr. CM because he failed to provide his identification when he requested to do so, and that he did not provide it until after he was out of his vehicle. And it should be noted that Mr. CM did provide his driver's license while he was still seated in his car. Officer Guzman also told Sergeant Collard that he and other officers who were now on the scene with him observed a green medical marijuana vial in the center console of Mr. CM's vehicle. Mr. CM was not asked about the green vial in the center console or whether he possessed a medical marijuana card at the time. Officers Guzman and Callegos conducted a search of Mr. CM's vehicle, and during the search, Officer Guzman retrieved the green medical marijuana vial from Mr. CM's car. The prescription label on the bottle indicated the prescription was for a Mr. NS. Nobody in the car was NS. In the green vial, there was an unknown amount of marijuana. No other drugs or paraphernalia were located during the search of the vehicle. Officer Guzman made the decision to impound the green medical marijuana vial and its contents to be analyzed and requested criminal charges be submitted. After the sergeant heard that Officer Guzman had planned to request criminal charges be submitted, he told Officer Guzman not to request criminal charges because he didn't believe it served the best interests of the city. Officer Guzman took possession of the green vial and its contents and intentionally threw them away in a trash can instead of impounding them as required by policy. Officer Guzman then failed to complete a departmental report for the alleged criminal act, also required by policy. The Phoenix Police Department Professional Standards Bureau sustained the allegation that Officer Guzman made an untruthful statement to his supervisor, failed to impound evidence, and failed to complete a report, and Officer Guzman received a 24-hour suspension for this incident. The second misconduct investigation includes the following. On June 13, 2020, Officer Peter Guzman was off duty driving his personal vehicle in Gilbert, Arizona. Officer Guzman was stopped by the Gilbert Police Department officer, by Gilbert Police Department officer Jennifer Canfield. After the officer had observed Officer Guzman commit several traffic violations, Officer Canfield saw a sign. Actually, she pulled him over and saw the signs and symptoms that led her to believe that he was impaired by alcohol. Officer Guzman submitted to a field sobriety test, or FSTs, and a preliminary breath test, or PBT. When he failed the FSTs as the result of the PBT at 0.21%. So he failed the FSTs and blew a 2-1 on the PBT. Officer Guzman was subsequently arrested for suspicion of a DUI and later submitted to a blood test, resulted in a 0.236 blood alcohol concentration. After the DUI investigation was completed, Officer Canfield cited and released Officer Guzman. The Gilbert Police Department submitted 4 DUI charges to the Town of Gilbert Prosecutor's Office, including super extreme DUI for having a BAC of 0.20 or more. Super extreme DUI is a Class 1 misdemeanor. The allegation that Officer Guzman committed a DUI offense was sustained. Officer Guzman received a 240-hour suspension for this infraction and is currently employed and appointed as a Phoenix police officer. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Questions, comments? I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Kevin Robinson. I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Guzman's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Very second.
Thank you, Deputy Director. Any further discussion?
This is Jamie. I do have a question. Because of the nature of the two different claims in this case, do we need to review them independently?
I will refer to legal.
This is Mark Brachtel, and the answer is no. You may proceed in this fashion.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Any other comments? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, going to say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-108. Mr. Dalton, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This next case involves former Yavapai Prescott Tribal Police Officer Julio Mesa. On May 12, 2021, while on duty, Officer Mesa was contacted by a private citizen, Mr. B.Y., at a local casino, advising him that an ex-girlfriend, Miss A.G., was following him around and harassing him at the casino. He said he was in the process of getting Miss A.G. served with an order of protection, which had not occurred as of that date. Officer Mesa then spoke with Miss A.G., who explained that she and her ex-boyfriend were having problems. She was just there to speak with him. Miss A.G. later told Sergeant Smith, who was an internal investigator for the agency, Officer Mesa was consoling her on that day, May 12th, as she was emotionally upset and recommended that she attend a yoga class with them to help with the stress. She told Sergeant Smith that she and Officer Mesa exchanged personal cell phone numbers and exchanged texts later that evening. Miss A.G. told Sergeant Smith that Officer Mesa had asked her in a text to join him for something to eat that night, and afterwards she declined the invitation. He then again texted her asking for to meet him for a milkshake, which she also declined. Miss A.G. did not hear back from Officer Mesa after that. During the administrative post-notice of investigation, or NOI, interview, on May 19, 2021, Officer Mesa told Sergeant Smith that when he contacted Miss A.G., he didn't believe a crime had occurred, so he did not complete a report. He said he did advise Miss A.G. to try a yoga class and that he could get her a free pass. He also admitted to texting her regarding the two requests to eat and have a milkshake, but after she declined, he did not communicate with her again. On June 7, 2021, during a post-NOI interview, Officer Mesa told Sergeant Smith that he had never used his work cell phone for communicating with women that he had met on or off duty, and had never had sexual encounters with any women that he had met on duty. Sergeant Smith knew from previous text conversations on Officer Mesa's work cell phone that Officer Mesa did have an off-duty sexual relationship with different women, Miss S.W. This relationship was initiated when Officer Mesa was on duty. the relationship was initiated on duty. On June 7th and June 9th of 2021, Officer Mesa contacted Ms. SW and spoke with her about the investigation after he had been served his NOI and admonished her not to speak to anyone regarding the internal investigation. The Yavapai Prescott Tribal Police Department sustained several policy violations against Officer Mesa, including untruthfulness, neglect of duty, and bringing discredit to law enforcement. On June 15th of 2021, Officer Mesa's employment was terminated. However, on September 2nd of this year, that tribe changed Officer Mesa's termination to resignation. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions on this case.
Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Matt Figueroa, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Mesa's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Commander. Do I hear a second?
Terry Williams, second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-157. Mr. Dalton, back to you.
And Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I need to recuse myself from this case. Thank you.
Let the record be noted. Mr. Dalton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My last case involves former Phoenix police officer Oscar Ramirez Guevara. On May 17, 2021, Officer Oscar Ramirez Guevara failed a random drug screen after the controlled substance of MDMA, known as ecstasy or Molly, was present in his urine. The quantity of MDMA identified in Officer Ramirez Guevara's system was over six times the cutoff threshold. Officer Ramirez Guevara indicated he did not know how the substance entered into his system, but he suspected he unknowingly ingested the MDMA after somebody put it into his drink while he celebrated his birthday at a bar in Tempe, Arizona on May 15, 2021, 2 days before the UA. Officer Ramirez Guevara indicated that he did not feel any of the effects of MDMA use, but he did become intoxicated very quickly, he noted, and did not have any reason to believe he ingested MDMA until after the medical review officer for City of Phoenix notified him of his failed drug screen. Officer Ramirez Guevara told investigators a mutual acquaintance of his and his ex-girlfriend was present that night of the incident of when he was drinking at the bar in Tempe and might have put the MDMA into his drink when he briefly left it unattended. He said his former girlfriend had previously made statements that she was going to get him fired, and Officer Ramirez Guevara told investigators that he obtained an order of protection in the past against his former girlfriend. However, PSB investigators, Professional Standards Bureau investigators, did not verify this, and AZ Post staff was unable to confirm it. However, officers' counsel did advise AZ Post staff that an order of protection was in effect during the time of this incident. PSB investigators did not interview the former girlfriend, and they determined Officer Ramirez Guevara did not offer a plausible explanation as to how the MDMA was ingested and present in his system and sustained the allegation of a banned substance detected in his urine. Officer Ramirez Guevara's employment was then terminated, and he is waiting on a civil service board, which is upcoming, for a hearing. At this point in time, information is unavailable to establish by a preponderance of evidence that Officer Ramirez Guevara intentionally ingested MDMA. If Officer Ramirez Guevara is to be appointed as a peace officer again, it will be incumbent upon the agency completing the background investigation to attempt to resolve this issue. Based on the information available at this time, it's recommended that the board resolve in the future by requiring an agency wishing to appoint Officer Ramirez Guevara in the future resolving the following. Did Officer Ramirez Guevara intentionally ingest MDMA prior to his urine analysis on May 17th, 2021? And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dalton. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chris Vasquez, I move to close this case and resolve in the future.
Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I second the motion.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify saying nay. Chair votes aye, motion carries. Next case, 21-132, Mr. McIntyre.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Robin McIntyre, one of your compliance specialists.
This matter involves former DPS cadet trooper Christopher Bell, who was hired by DPS as a probationary employee on November 16, 2020, and entered the Phoenix Regional Police Academy on April 12, 2021. Cadet Bell was terminated on his original probation on July 12, 2021, after being charged with extreme DUI in violation of ARS 28-1338.A, a Class 1 misdemeanor. He was also charged with extreme DUI, aggravated driving under the influence, driving the wrong way on a highway in violation of 28-1383.8.5, a Class 4 felony. On July 10, 2021, at approximately 0029 hours, DPS Sergeant Edward W. was on duty in his marked patrol vehicle facing southbound on Dysart Road, just stopped short of I-10 overpass. While there, he saw a yellow-colored Jeep being driven towards him, northbound, on Dysart Road, almost at the I-10 overpass. As the Jeep approached, Sergeant Edward W. saw the driver suddenly apply his vehicle brakes to stop at the stoplight. After the traffic light changed to green, Sergeant Edward W. observed the Jeep make a sudden and aggressive illegal left turn going westbound on the I-10 eastbound off-ramp. Sergeant Edward W. activated his emergency lights and followed the Jeep up the ramp and saw the Jeep make a sudden left turn on the ramp, stopping within a foot of the Dysart Road right-of-way fence. Sergeant Edward W. approached the driver, identified as Cadet Bell, and while interacting with the cadet, observed signs of intoxication and smelled a strong odor of an intoxicating liquor on Cadet Bell's breath. His observations resulted in a DUI investigation. State Trooper Pedro H. arrived and assisted Sergeant Edward W. with the DUI investigation by administering an HGN test and field sobriety test. Trooper Pedro H. also noted a strong odor of liquor coming from Cadet Bell and saw that his eyes were watery and heard his speech being slurred. Based on Pedro H.'s observation and the results of the test he administered, at approximately 0041 hours, Trooper Pedro arrested Cadet Bell on suspicion of driving under the influence of liquor. He then gave Cadet Bell a preliminary breath test that produced a reading of 0.196. After being transported to the Tolleson Police Department, Cadet Bell provided two tubes of blood for analysis. The blood test results showed that on July 10th, 2021, at approximately 0150 hours, Cadet Bell had a blood alcohol content of 0.194. Cadet Bell resigned in lieu of termination on July 12, 2021. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board deny Cadet Bell's peace officer certification, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. McIntyre. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, Joe Prefer, I move to initiate proceedings to deny peace officer certification to Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Deputy Director. Do we hear a second?
Jerry Williams, second.
Thank you, Chief. Further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. McIntyre. Next case, 21-068. Mr. Toporek.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Dave Toporek, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves former Maricopa County Sheriff's Deputy Christopher Haynes. On or about December 10, 2018, Haynes and another deputy responded to a domestic violence call for service. After being arrested and transported to the Guadalupe substation on misdemeanor charges, the suspect made allegations of excessive force and unprofessional conduct against Haynes to a supervisor. This occurred within earshot of Deputy Haynes, who then decided to be listed as the victim of an aggravated assault because of a small abrasion or cut to one of his fingers and the suspect kicking at him during the arrest. During the subsequent administrative investigation, Haynes was discovered to be untruthful during a pre-polygraph interview. This involved truthfulness concerning violating his notice of investigation by having communication, as well as being untruthful concerning communication regarding aspects of a polygraph / investigation with another deputy involved in this case. As part of the internal investigation, Deputy Hayes was provided with a verbal and written notice of investigation on May 23, 2019, specifying with whom Haynes could discuss this matter. Haynes indicated that he understood the document and had no questions. On May 31st, he was again provided with a second notice of investigation prior to being interviewed. Haynes indicated that he understood the document and had no questions. After conducting interviews with the involved employees, investigators felt there were inconsistencies in the information provided, and the employees were required to submit to a polygraph examination. On July 15, 2019, Haynes was provided with a verbal directive to appear for his polygraph examination and not discuss any portion of the matter. On July 18, 2019, Haynes was scheduled for his polygraph examination. Prior to the actual examination, Haynes and the examiner discussed aspects of the investigation. During this discussion, Haynes was asked what discussions he had with another deputy involved in the investigation regarding the polygraph and the investigation itself. Haynes answered by stating none. On July 26, 2019, the other deputy was re-interviewed, and it was discovered that he and Haynes had post-NOI communication by text message regarding aspects of the investigation and polygraph. It should be noted that the other deputy involved in this incident has voluntarily relinquished his peace officer certification because of this incident. On August 6, 2019, investigators again interviewed Haynes. Haynes maintained that he did not remember any text messages with the other deputy. When shown the messages, Haynes recalled them but claimed that he did not discuss details of the investigation, which would still be in violation of the NOI. The investigation determined that Haynes displayed unprofessional behavior in his contact with the suspect of the domestic violence call for service. This included placing his boot on her foot without being able to give an explanation justifying the reason, initially not providing his name when asked, and telling the suspect that she should be getting a felony. I can add a felony to your case if you want, prior to being transported for processing. In addition, it was determined that Haynes conducted an improper domestic violence investigation and completed a report that contained multiple errors and inaccurate information. Haynes was found to have sustained policy violations for MCSO policies, code of conduct, insubordination, truthfulness, code of conduct, failure to meet standards, domestic violence investigation and documentation, code of conduct, unbecoming conduct, and injury or death of an employee or volunteer reporting and documenting an industrial injury. It should be noted that in August of 2018, Haynes received an 8-hour suspension without pay in reference to an internal investigation concerning a separate domestic violence call for service. In that investigation, it was determined that Haynes responded to a domestic violence call where there was an allegation that a crime had been committed, and Haynes failed to complete an incident report. The matter was later reviewed by a supervisor who determined that Haynes should have documented and should have completed an incident report since Haynes was aware that a crime had occurred. On February 1st, 2021, Haynes was terminated from employment by the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, and based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be happy to answer any questions the board might have.
Thank you, Mr. Port. Any questions, comments? Or none, I'll entertain a motion.
Chris Voskis, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Haynes' peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second? Why,
second.
Thank you, Jamie. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, you know, I say an aye.
Aye.
All opposed, you know, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-029. Mr. Port, back to you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this case involves former Avondale police officer Jared Palacios. In approximately June 2019, the Social Security Administration, Office of Inspector General, began an investigation into acts committed by Jared Palacios and his wife for obtaining additional supplemental security income, SSI, when they were not eligible. The Social Security Administration determined that a total of $119,896.22 was overpaid on behalf of the minor children of Palacios, two children from a prior marriage of Ms. Palacios, and one shared child with Mr. Jared Palacios. based on the Palacios cohabitation and income levels above SSI limits. The investigation revealed that on or about August 2012 through May 2016, Jared Palacios provided false information in the form of letters and or Social Security Administration forms to the Social Security Administration. In these documents, Palacio indicated that he had no longer resided with his wife, was charging her rent that he reduced in lieu of child support, that he was no longer providing money to his wife for the care of their son, etc., when in fact they were living together. This was done so that he and his wife could receive the supplemental Social Security income payments. In February 2021, Palacios entered into a plea agreement in federal court, pleading guilty to one count of theft of public money less than $1,000, a Class 1 misdemeanor. In part, as part of the plea agreement, Palacios was placed on 7 months probation, agreed to resign from the Avondale Police Department, and pay $82,720.28 in restitution. The court accepted the plea agreement in April 2021. The plea agreement appears to be based on the conduct of Palacios in providing false information to the Social Security Administration on a Social Security rental verification form on or about May of 2016 and the resulting amount of overpayment of SSI benefits to one of the children. Though not prosecuted, the conduct of Mr. Palacios was also in violation of State of Arizona statutes as indicated in the alleged conduct. Mr. Palacios resigned from the Avondale Police Department prior to the completion of an internal investigation or administration of discipline in this matter. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Tabor. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Palacios Peace Officer Certification in case number 21-029.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chair, John Johnson, I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-153. Mr. Jacobs. Thank you, Mr. Bork.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, Steve Jacobs, compliance specialist. This case involves a recruit from the Gilbert Police Department who on May 28, 2001 was appointed as a recruit officer and scheduled to begin the Gilbert Police Academy September 13th of 2021. Following his Gilbert appointment, recruit Medal remained an Army specialist with the Arizona National Guard and was on assignment to Pinal County Sheriff's Office in their corrections facility intake section. On August 4th of 2021, recruit Medal's last day to be assigned to the Pinal County recruit, Medal was captured on security camera video removing a corrections duty belt from a table within the correction intake room and putting the belt into his personal backpack. The duty belt was later discovered missing, and following a review of security video, the Pinal County Sheriff's Office reported the theft to the National Guard. When interviewed by a National Guard captain on August 19, 2021, recruit Medal admitted to taking the duty belt and admitted he had no intention to return it. The National Guard made their findings known to the Gilbert Police Department, and recruit Medal was released from employment as a probationary employee. According to information provided by the National Guard, the duty belt was valued at $201.62, making the theft a Class 1 misdemeanor. However, Pinal County decided not to pursue prosecution. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings to deny certification. Are there any questions?
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Go ahead, Deputy.
Mr. Jacobs, I just want to clarify for the record that the belt in question is not a belt associated with the Arizona Department of Corrections. Rather, it is specific to this county.
I don't know that one way or another for sure, sir. It was a belt that they use within the Pinal County Sheriff's Office for their corrections officers.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a result of that answer and it being referred to as a corrections belt, I'll recuse myself on this case.
Let the record be noted. Any other comments, questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to initiate proceedings to deny a peace officer certification to Mr. Metal in case number 21-153.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Chris Voskis, second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signal by saying aye.
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 All opposed, and say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 21-063. Mr. Jacobs, back to you.
Yes, this case involves a sergeant with the Globe Police Department, Jeffrey Overton. On September 25th, 2020, Sergeant Jeffrey Overton and two other Globe police officers were dispatched to a complaint of an ongoing argument between male and female. When the officers arrived at the apartment, their attempts to contact the apartment occupants were negative. Sergeant Overton went upstairs to the complaining party and verified that the complainant had heard loud yelling, things being slammed, and a male voice cursing. Excuse me. Sergeant Overton rejoined his fellow officers and again to contact the apartment occupants with negative results. After observing the shadow of a person walking inside the apartment, Sergeant Overton made the decision to enter the apartment and ensure the safety of the occupants. The apartment door was found unlocked and opened by officers who announced themselves and began clearing the apartment room by room. When opening a bedroom door, officers observed Miss MB against the wall across the room and facing officers. Both of Miss MB's hands were visible, but she failed to comply with Sergeant Overton's instructions to exit the room and then his instruction to place her hands on her head. Sergeant Overton informed Miss MB to place her hands on her head or she would be tased. Miss MB responded, "Yeah, right," and Sergeant Overton deployed his taser, striking and disabling Miss MB. Following deployment of the taser, Miss MB was handcuffed, taken into custody, and officers completed their search of the apartment, and no other person was located. It was learned later that Miss MB suffers from mental illness and had a habit of arguing with herself in a multitude of voices and would do so while throwing objects about the apartment. The applicable segment of the body-worn camera to this incident is available if the board is so inclined to watch it.
Comments from board? Anybody want to see it? Harry, no. Continue, Mr. Jacobs. No.
It was determined that Sergeant Overton did violate department policy, his use of force policy, by deploying his taser without providing Ms. MB a reasonable opportunity to voluntarily comply with his instructions. It was noted on the video just 1/5 of a second lapsed from the time that he issued his warning until he deployed the taser. Sergeant Overton was suspended without pay for 2 weeks. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board take no action in the agency discretion. Are there any questions that I might answer?
Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. Questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Chris Voskis, I move to close this case with no action but agency discretion.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Matt Figueroa, second.
Thank you, Commander. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, I'm going to say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carried. Last case of the day, 21-091. Mr. Jacobs, back to you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the board, this case also involves Jeffrey Overton. During March and April of 2021, Globe Police Sergeant Jeffrey S. Overton became the subject of national news following the deploying of a taser at a mentally disabled female. The news also detailed Sergeant Overton, while an officer with the Pine Top Lakeside Police Department, had faced termination for misconduct that the Pine Top Lakeside Police Department had failed to report to Arizona Post. A review of the issues stemming from that employment with the Pine Top Lakeside Police Department found that during May of 2019, Sergeant Overton had failed to assist officers responding to his report of someone shooting a firearm at him followed by his failure to be truthful during his background investigation by the Globe Police Department involving medical issues.
Mr. Chairman, at this point, we make a recommendation from the board that we go into executive session.
Thank you, Director. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
If I, Mark Brechtel, if I can, in the board packet is the language for requesting executive session having to do with confidential medical records. That just needs to be stated into the record.
I'll just say it. So, Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that the board enter into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-43.0382 for the purpose of considering confidential medical records.
Thank you for clarification. Do we have a second, Chief?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, signal by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signal by saying nay. Motion carries. I would ask everybody to exit the room unless relevant to poll staff.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Jamie. We're back in general session, regular session, however you want to begin. So, Mr. Jacobs, back to you.
I just need a motion from the board.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Matt Figueroa, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Overton's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Commander. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. That's the end of our new cases. At this time, I'll back to you for Director for future agenda items.
We're just going to figure out what to do with ourselves in December, but we'll survive.
Let's all embrace the holidays.
We have nothing. We're just working through the rules, working through a couple other things, and then we'll just look forward to our meeting in January. But again, as always, if the board has something they'd like us to further explore, I'm happy to do that.
Final comments from board members?
Have a very Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah. I echo
see
that.
You in January.
Thank you all, sir.
Mr. Jacobs, was that your final presentation to the board before your retirement?
No, I had things to go in December, so I have to talk to
we'll work them out.
Okay, we'll see you again then.
I don't know if we'll be or we'll not be.
Because he's January 7th, correct?
January 7th.
So we might have to bring him back as a contract employee next week.
Okay, well.
So much for retirement.
Yeah, in the event that you are not seen again, I just wanted to publicly acknowledge your service to the board, and your presentations have been spot on. I think that you have done an outstanding job in representing the Arizona Peace Officer Standard Training Board and doing investigations and presenting to us to render conclusions that are in the best interest of the public. And I thank you for your service, sir. Yeah.
Hopefully we'll see you in January for recognition. So,
there's always that possibility.
Well, as Chair, I'd like to wish everybody a blessed Christmas, holiday season, Thanksgiving, and thank the poll staff for all you do. And enjoy the time off in December, everybody.
Thank you.
Take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thanks.
Unless you're going to make me say something else.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Means adjourned.